I began to pray if it was possible for me just before I died to know when the Lord was coming. And I said within myself, I won't tell anybody. But he kept saying over and over again, you couldn't tell. Well, I prayed about it. And I prayed about it and prayed about it. Finally, I just figured, well, I guess he had a good reason for doing that. When I was at the seminary, they asked me to write Tectonic Chaos. So I wrote it. And the last chapter in the book, I put in there about the judgment seat, final judgment seat, where the where there were two different groups there. I was fresh in Greek and Hebrew, and I'd really gone and looked at it. And I have a great fear of preaching something that's wrong. And the only relief I have is when I discover I preached it wrong, I just tell people. And because I fear the Lord, I'm scared that if I get something wrong, that it's of my own volition. And I don't want that. So I prayed about it for years. And I was sure that that was right at the last. And I knew about the split rapture. I had been exposed to it when I was young. Some of the preachers up in the northern part of the state believed it. And the pastors I had while I was up there, they didn't. So I didn't hear much preaching on that, but there was, when I finally figured out, the Lord led me to understand that last chapter in my first book. So he's never bothered me about it, so I knew it was wrong. I mean, it was right. I knew it was right. And so when I got over in the first chapter of Genesis and did the gap theory, I realized that the gap theory is a long, complicated thing drawn out. But the first part of that I'm sure of. And it bothered me because there I was with two things I understood. And I prayed about it, and I knew they were right. And so finally, I just said, well, some of the stuff here in between, I think I understand it. But I had been taught about the gap theory when I was young. The church I belonged to believed it. And when I met Chuck, Chuck's pretty strong on being a split rapture. And I thought about that, and I began to study that. And I said, well, I know the last part of what I believe is correct. I know the first part of it is. Believe me, God has a way of making me uneasy if I start going on the wrong track. So I'm very slow to go on the wrong track. But I was certain I had the last part right, and I was certain I had the first part right. And the other night, I got to thinking about it more. I prayed more about it. By this time, I had gotten to the point, well, I know the first part and the last part, but I don't know this thing in between. I do now. There is a split rapture. And when I understood it, I've thanked the Lord a million times for it. I believe it's correct. And so I'm going to try and at least begin to show you that And I'm real curious what Chuck's reaction is. If he starts for the door cussing or something, Summer, we'll grab him by the arm, hold him down. But I just, I finally figured it out. And I didn't. If it's wrong, I did. But if God did, it's right. And it's interesting. So I think I can tell you with great certainty that what's happening right now up in Washington is no surprise. And when I got down into, you know about it. Finally, about a year or so ago, I got down to this part and I said, I'm going to teach up to here and I'm not going to teach any more about this because I just am uneasy about it. I'm not uneasy anymore. And it all boiled down to one single scripture. And when I finally, I didn't figure this out. I just don't believe I did because God didn't bother me about it. Back here and over here on this scripture, there's something that's tied to that one scripture. And going over to the last part of Revelation, the two things I figured out, or I didn't figure it out, but God showed me. He didn't speak to me or anything, but I knew it was right. I get a feeling, I have something inside me that I have an unction or something that I knew they were right. But when Chuck joined down here, I said, well, maybe he put Chuck in here to make me look at this more. And so after my first lecture behind the church building out here, I thought, well, maybe I ought to look at it more. So I did look at it more. I think I know where it is. I think I know what it is. And I'll tell you that those things between here to here are phases. And I'm not trying to use words to mislead you, because I am going to explain this thing when I try to do it. And if we have another explosion where the lights go out, y'all go ahead and come. I ain't calling nobody. Because if the lights are out when you come down here, you're just going to have, I'm going to get some lanterns and hang. I got some lanterns, and I'm going to hang them over there in the fellowship hall, and I'm going to show you that, see what you think. Because it's been a blessing to me. I'm feeling real good, and I didn't ask the Lord to let me know so I could show everybody how smart I was. I asked the Lord, I just want to know. I still can't tell you the day, the week, the month, or the year. I've said that from the very beginning. I didn't write my book here to say the world, that all this stuff was going to happen, but I finally figured out what global warming is. It's when all those plates start to move. You talk about global warming. You're not going to have to wait a million years for it to drop another so many degrees. Global warming is when those cracks start to move and all hell breaks up from underneath the earth. And I think I know when that occurs. And so what I'm waiting for are certain things, and I'll go through with it. And then after it's over, if you don't agree with it, you can just don't take me out behind the church. I've had enough of those lectures. So we'll just see what happens. So Terry says, you are going to preach off that chart, aren't you? I said, well, I don't have one colored. And I said, well, you told me they like those. And I thought, well, who told you that? And she told me some people liked what I was doing with that. And I said, but I don't have these colored. She said, they don't understand the coloring anyway. I said, how do you?
Oh, I said, I don't understand the coloring.
I just wanted you to say it. And So I just came up, I got some of them colored and some of them aren't, but we're going to start off with two that aren't colored. So Ken, if he doesn't understand this, explain it to him when he gets home. My Bible says, if a man doesn't know what's being taught, get the woman to teach him.
No, you sure take good notes.
Oh. Uh, The harmony of the law and gospel. This is something I learned since I came up here, and I've taught it to you, and I've taught things. Do you know, I never did teach anything that was wrong. I taught you something, and I just told you, I said, I don't really understand this completely, but I said, I'm going to tell you what I think. And I said, I don't have a, I believe this. But I learned an awful lot after I came up here. I learned from experience, from the Lord, because he gave some of you some experiences, and some of you would talk to me about it, and I would learn from it. I learned a lot from Chuck. I'm very appreciative of him. There were some that came here that, I'll just tell you, I ran them off. And I felt like I had an obligation to do it because they were influencing some of our members. But I've known Chuck a long time. I had a lot of admiration for him. And Chuck, something happens to you when God gets a hold of you. You want to do what God wants. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy, because it takes a lot of study. And God gives you, he gave me the beginning and the end. But what happened in between? Well, that's something I'm going to talk about on, Lord willing, on Sunday. The harmony of the law and the gospel. We believe that the law of God is the eternal and unchangeable rule of his moral government, that it is holy, just, and good, and that the inability which the scriptures ascribe to fallen men to fulfill the precepts arises entirely from their love of sin. To deliver them from such and to restore them through a mediator to unfeigned obedience to the holy law is one great end of the gospel and of the means of grace connected with the establishment of the visible church. Everything we have ever received from God was by grace. He didn't have to create my forefather Adam, but he knew what he was doing when he did it. He knew what was going to happen. I'm certain of that. And so it happened. Well, things began to happen. And the first Adam was a living soul. But he made the second Adam a quickening spirit. He made himself a quickening spirit. And he is God. Jesus is God. Well, could he just, whatever God decides to do, I want to know what it was he decided to do. I don't want to come up with something that's clever or something that say, Brother McElmurray, you sure do know your stuff. I don't want that. I just want to know what God had to say, and I want to understand it. Well, all these years I've struggled with it, and I started off at two ends of a candle. It's like lighting a candle on both ends, and all of a sudden it came to in the middle, and I think now I understand it. Paul in Romans 7 through 16 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Now notice what he says. God forbid. I use King James. I like this Bible because it's the explanations are down to the root cause, the root meaning, and I don't have to do anything with them. They mean just exactly what you see down on the bottom. God forbid means by no means. He said by no means. He answers the question. He said, nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. You know, I used to think I was a pretty good old boy. If you had asked me, do you know you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. And I'd quote the scripture back when I had my right mind. But by the law, for I had not known lust. Lust means coveting. And if you're going to interpret the Bible, you better get to understand what lust is. It's a failure to obey God and to crave the things that God doesn't like. And when Adam sinned, he wanted the woman. Well, that's a pretty good example of lust. I can't think of any better, but you can lust for a car, you can lust for financial gain, you can lust for attention, you can lust for a lot of different things. And God wants you to desire to love Him, and He tells you why you love Him. He said, "You love me because I first loved you." God had to teach us to love. You say, "Well, how did He do that?" I should have recognized it a long time ago, but I tried. But going to Israel helped me a lot because I got to understand the way that the Hebrews teach. Well, who was He teaching it to? He was teaching it to His first New Testament church, which was all Jewish. And what did they do then? They went up and taught it to an all Gentile. And then they went up and taught it to a half Jew, half Gentile. And then they went up to a bunch that were worshiping properly. But they didn't even know that John had already died and been through all that. So he showed you what He wanted you to do. Well, that's the part I had trouble with. I thought, well, if I study real hard, I'll understand all this. Because He says, "Study to circle thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed," right? And dividing the word of truth. He says, "Thou shalt not covet." I wanted to be noticed. I wanted people to like me. I lusted for attention. He said, "Well, you weren't really called." Oh, yes, I was. If you've never lusted in your life, I don't know what you are, but you sure aren't pleasing God. I mean, well, the lust is wrong. I know it's wrong, but how does He teach you that? He's got to teach you first how He loves. He's got to teach you how to forgive. He said, "Thou shalt not covet." But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Concupiscence means to actually want to. A concupiscence is a desire for something. Thy desire shall be for something. And as Paul, even after he was saved, Paul talks about this. Because he said, even, he put it in plain Arkansas talk, he said, even though I'm saved, I know the law is holy. But he said, I learned how holy it is, because even after I understood on the road to Damascus and had been convicted when we stoned Stephen, he said, the law was, he said, but without the law, sin was dead. I thought when I discovered that about the eternal Christ, the pre-existent Christ, and finally got down to where I discovered that He really is God. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and He never sinned. He's God. And so when I finally discovered this and found out about the pre-existent Christ and did all that studying, what did it do to me? Well, I thought, now I can start doing some of this. Forget it. Forget it. Oh, do I try? I try constantly. You say, well, you're not saved. Yes, I am. Because I learned then what God's grace really is. It's teaching me how sinful I am. When I finally just give up and realize He really is the only righteousness I have. Absolutely. And I want to serve Him. But here I am pastoring this church, absolutely and totally and completely saved forever and ever and ever. But I still have a trouble with lust. You say, well, what has that taught you? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for those is the kingdom that for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm the poorest man in spirit you'll ever meet, because I've learned in trying to keep the law by walking in it, and I do walk in it, that I still fall off sometimes. Well, what do? You rob a bank? You look at somebody and lust? No. You want more attention, you want more recognition, you want more praise, you want this, you want that, blah, 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 etc. I learned that I'm a lot worse than I thought. How did I learn that? And, learning that you're not saved, where you can appreciate God, is when you finally come to the recognition, He saved me by grace. And when I realized that salvation is something that happened to me instantly, a long time ago, but all happened, you know when you learn you're really saved, is after you're saved. And you can seek God. It can run back and forth to Him, or run back and forth to Him. It can keep on bothering you, but you never can fully understand. I can't ever understand the full love of God. I can't do it. Because He taught me. How could somebody love somebody like me? And I realized that I was saved, but I was still trying to please God so I could feel good. So what do? Well, don't you sin once in a while? Don't you have a bad thought once in a while? Don't you get jealous once in a while? You say, no, I understand all that. You know why you understand it? Because He first loved you. The Hebrews teach in reverse, actually. And they ask you a lot of questions. And God begins to ask you a lot of questions. And you begin to try to find answers to them. And if you find the answers, it's because you're looking for them. And God knows just exactly when to let you know how saved you are. But you don't understand the full ramifications of it until after God saves you by His grace. But He saves you, make no mistake. He said, come and see. And I learned about it. And I became extremely thankful for it. And I was so thankful, I thought, now, maybe I can stay on this road a while. I try every day to. But I finally reached the point where I am poor in spirit, and I know it. And I love Him more now than I've ever loved Him before. More than I've ever loved Him before. Because He first loved me. And He taught me through adversity that He loved me. And He accepted me as I am. And that doesn't mean He appreciates the times when I sin. God forbid. But I still have thoughts that are bad. They're not bad thoughts. I don't rob grocery stores or fill-in stations. I don't look at your wife and lust. It's not things like that. It's things like I'm just not very humble. And it seems like the more I learn about myself, the more I realize and how grateful I am to God. Why would he ever save something like me? And make no mistake, he did it because he taught me how sinful I am. And he taught me most of it after I'd already been saved, but I had to go to him first. And I was so proud when I thought I had mastered the golden key. I like the golden key. But quite frankly, I'm ashamed of what I am. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. You want to talk to me about Jesus Christ? You want to talk to me about God? You want to know what I'm like? You want to know what he's like? I'll tell you as much as I know about him. But I tell you, he's absolutely wonderful. But when the commandment came, sin revived. And I died. I think the greatest time in my life was not when I discovered I didn't have to keep the law, but when I discovered that I was crucified with Christ. I was crucified with him. I was resurrected with him. And I sit here right now before you as a man who's poor in spirit. And I learned how poor I was in spirit when I began to see just a shadow, just a twinkle of light of how righteous God is and how inadequate I am. And when I understood that, next thing I understood was, he's the overcomer. And he resurrected himself. His father gave him permission. He did everything I was supposed to do and couldn't. I owe him everything. He owes me nothing. Because he gave it by grace. I really love what I've discovered here. I'm indebted to Anna Mae. I'm indebted to Chuck. Because you learned to love. And you tried to help me. You don't know how much I appreciate that. And your dad may have been tough on you, Chuck, but he sure did love you. Your dad wasn't loudmouthed like me. But the older I get, the more I get like your dad. Your dad understood some things. I don't think your dad ever went to seminary. You don't have to go to a seminary. All you have to do is let God teach you. What you learn from God is if God wants you to go, you'll end up going. But this country, this nation was made great by men like your daddy. He went out and worked hard, loved his family. What did he want for you, Chuck? He wanted you to go to heaven. He wanted you to get saved. Afterwards, he wanted God to teach you. You think God didn't teach your dad? God taught your dad. You know why I love my wife so much? Because God taught her. You know why you love Summer so much? Because God taught her, and he taught you. And you have something that very few people in this life have. And every time I do a wedding ceremony, my prayer is, is there any way, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I pray for him, 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 and I pray for him. And I prayed a lot for you, Chili. You better believe I have. I'm so old now, I just can't do a whole lot. But you're the hardest headed nut I ever saw in my life.
What is that?
Huh? I know. And I've tried to give up on you so many times, but I thought, I couldn't. I absolutely couldn't. I wanted to go give up on John. I ain't give up on him. Don't you give up on him either. There's lots of people in this church that need to get back in church. I'm really hoping they'll start getting back in church when all Hades breaks loose. Listen, it's going to break loose. I guarantee you, all of a sudden, about 3 years ago, maybe four, I wrote and I said, I'm not going to talk anymore about what's going to happen from now to the rapture, because there's some things that I need to get straight. And I never will. I said, I don't think I'll ever be able to tell you when it's going to occur. But I do believe that I'll be able to have an awareness in me and a desire for your people and for myself to learn about ourselves and to learn about you and to let God change our lives. So I'm sure the first thing checked out on you was your whole life from the time you were born. He wanted to know when you first started crying, probably, but that's the kind of father-in-law you got. You need to thank him for what he is, and you need to thank him for the girl you got. You got a good girl. She loves you. You know, that's a lot to be said in marriage, and he loves you even though you went to Woodstock. Truth is that, man, there's just no substitute. You'd say, well, what about those that have a hard time when they get married? I don't pass any judgments. I'd advise you not to either. Did you ever read that account where he wrote in the sand? That was a hard one for me at first, but you can argue with me, the calc's gonna come home, I know I'm right. If you go over to the second chapter of Romans, and you go through and it lists all those things that you're supposed to do under the law. Good grief. There's a whole list of them that long. And it tells what they're supposed to do on every one of them. I noticed something one day when I was looking down my long pointed nose, judging others. Well, you know, I never did anything where they should take me down to the gate or all that kind of stuff. You know, if they found a man, if they found a man and a woman actually having intercourse, and they weren't married, they were supposed to take them both down to the gate, stone them to death. And one day, somebody in church asked me, they said, well, he told all them what to do, and he said, then the very next chapter, and those chapter divisions were put in there by people. And all of a sudden, it comes down to the next chapter, and it says, in a nice way, I'll put it, who do you think you are? It doesn't say, now you just do what it says. And it said, who are you if you do the same? I can tell you what he wrote in the sand. Where is the man? These were legalistic Pharisees and scribes and people that were so self-righteous you couldn't even believe it. Is there any other reason that they would one by one, after all that screaming and bringing that woman down there, is there any reason that they would all one by one leave from the oldest to the youngest? There can't be any other reason. They knew they had not brought the man. When I first started pastoring this church, there were lots of things I didn't know. But I was so full of myself, God had to teach me in reverse. That's the way he does all of us. You seek after him, and all of a sudden, he begins to teach you in reverse. And you wonder about things, and he won't leave you alone because he wants you to learn them, but he wants you to learn them his way. I can't keep the law, but I'm righteous. It's his righteousness. I can't overcome, but he overcame for me. You say, well, how'd you learn that? If you start trying to do what he wants you to do after you get saved, you'll find out. And if you give up and say, well, I don't care anything about that, you're following the path of those people that they get all excited. They're happy, full of joy. But then all of a sudden something happens and they have to, it's embarrassing to them. That's when you start learning. And then maybe some people continue for a long time. Think of the poor old pastor. He knows that he's supposed to pity me. I don't want your pity anymore. I just want your understanding. I ask God every day for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. And he began to teach me from both ends. Chuck came down here, and Chuck's helped me a lot with some of this stuff. I do believe in a split rapture now. I don't believe it with the firmness I believe what I've just said up to you this time, but I think I do know that those things in there are phases, those trumpets and everything. I'm real happy about it, and I thank God from the depths of my soul that I learned this before I died. He and the commandment. Which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion, opportunity, by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. God killed me. I was crucified with him. And I realize that now. What if he hadn't quit? What if he hadn't been a quickening spirit? The same one who breathed life into the souls of Adam and Eve. He is the same one who is the quickening spirit. And he just wants to quicken you. And once he quickens you, you're able to understand how gracious he is. And you understand the grace part. And you look at it and you say, well, I'm nothing. He's everything. Right on. And it's a wonderful feeling to understand that you're saved. Because then and only then can you follow him. And you cannot follow him perfectly. That's the next mistake that you make. I made it. I thought, well, now I'm going to be able to do this. And you know, no. And that's why some people drop out of church. They can't do it. They're still trying to add to what he did. To know what he did is grace. But salvation is when you suddenly realize that Jesus did it all. He's the head of this church. He's the foundation of this church. We're his body. We ought to live right. We ought to walk with him. How's he going to keep us on a straight track? If we don't keep on learning that he loved us more than we ever imagined. Taught me the importance of being in a church. I've had people in this church come and help me. And explain things to me. I've had other preachers at other churches that understood it better than I do. And I used to think I'd understood a lot. All I understand is, God did it all. And he had to teach me how to love like him before I could forgive others. And before I could really understand what a church is. And I'm still learning about the church. I'm still learning and learning and learning because the depth of God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding is beyond all human standing. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. For the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was that then which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Did you really know how sinful you were? Did you really understand until finally one day you just started wanting to walk with him? And all of a sudden you could try to walk with him. Didn't you have a little trouble when you came along and you just thought, good gracious, I'm still a sinner. I still have these thoughts. This still happens to you. Didn't that bother you? That was when I really started to learn what a rotten egg I am. And that is when I'll tell you face to face, this isn't false humility. This isn't me trying to get on your good side or anything else. God taught me from two ends of a burning candle until they finally came together. He's the overcomer, I'm not. But he did it for me. He's my righteousness. I don't have any except his. So when you get down to the bottom of that thing in Romans 2, all of a sudden he says, what about you? And he starts laying it on you. And you think, well, I already understand that. I've been saved. You're not saved until God begins to teach you how to love, because you can't love unless it's his love. Oh, you can love little bunny rabbits and cute things. You can love people that do good things to you. You can love somebody that helps you out. You can love a patient wife. You can love a patient husband. You can love people that do what they want you to, what you do, what you want to do. But you can't love one another like God until you first get saved. And you don't get saved until after all of a sudden one day you realize, I'm the chief of sinners. You say, well, I realized that before I ever got saved. But you didn't realize to what extent. You didn't realize that you're still, now that you know, start loving people. Start making the local church the most important thing in your life. A lot of people love the church until they're pressed back in a corner and all of a sudden they realize, God wants something from me. He wants your life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to learn how to love God? He's the way, the truth, and life. That's the way it is. But you cannot love with God's love until God teaches you, you only love me because I first loved you. Then you can love like he does. You say, but what do you mean? I can keep the law? No. What do you mean? I can overcome perfectly? No, I don't mean that. I mean, he's going to show you you're a lot worse than you think you are, and you will be a lot more grateful to God for what you've got. Because if it wasn't for God, you'd go straight to hell and you wouldn't pass go and you wouldn't get $200. It's not a Monopoly game. It's something that God wants you to understand. He says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. I realize now I'm more sinful than I ever did before God finally taught me to love. And he's still teaching me. And the way he teaches me is whenever I realize I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't good for the church. I need to learn more so I can be a better pastor. But God doesn't expect a whole lot out of you. Just do what I say. And when you fail, just trust me, I'll forgive you. He said I would. The Old Testament teaches that. There's a million different ways it's taught. But some people get in church and they go along and think, now everything's going to be fine. No, it's not. I've been here long enough to know that. They'll either run you off or let you stay, one or the other. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual. I am as ego ami, present indicative active. You remember Leland Womack that came down to this church? I tried desperately to teach him what I've been teaching right here. And Leland, I never could get him over the fact that he said, he didn't really mean that. He mean I used to be carnal. I said, you can't substitute what the word means. That's why I went back to school, seminary. the Lord let me know I had to go back. I didn't understand why. I thought, well, boy, I was raised in Missionary Baptist Church. But I went back and I thought, man alive, you need to know a whole lot. And then I came up here. And good grief. I deserve that lecture out in the back of the church, Chuck. That's why I kid you all the time about it. I deserve that. You've been real helpful to me. And you were right. And so your zeal paid off. You wouldn't have given that lecture unless you cared about me. I know that now. But I've learned a lot from you. And I just have. And your dad was a lot like my wife. She was a good servant. She listened a lot. And I miss her. But I know now who I miss. I miss God, because it was God in her loving me that made her the way she was. I am as ego ami, present indicative active. He said, I am carnal right now. I'm sold under sin. But guess who paid the price for all my sins? We sang that song about the blood. It's the blood. Did you know, I don't care where you go all over the world, and I've been all over the earth, they still offer blood sacrifices. You say, well, God doesn't accept them. I know that. But that carried over. The devil doesn't mind you offering blood sacrifices as long as you're offering them to the wrong God. But we know that the law is spiritual. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And we are going to get out on time, because we're going to stop right there. I tell you, there's a lot more to this than you think. I'm constantly amazed at myself, how little I knew when I came up here, and how much I've grasped since I got here. And it almost frightens me.